Earlier this week, Governor Walker and Republican legislative leaders unveiled a package of legislation meant to create jobs and improve Wisconsin's economy. And our guest lawmaker in this half hour will tell us why he thinks this effort is underwhelming. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, September 26th. We are happy to have with us Assembly Minority Leader Peter Barka for this half hour to talk about jobs in Wisconsin. We will also get his take on a new economic outlook report that Governor Walker is now highlighting. This report says Wisconsin will be second in the nation in job growth in the future. But critics say that another metric that the governor used to point to as the standard is expected to be much bleaker. So we welcome your thoughts on jobs in Wisconsin and what it'll take to improve the job situation in Wisconsin and whether you think our state is doing enough. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Peter Barka is the Democratic State Representative from Kenosha and the Assembly Minority Leader. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Good to be with you again.
Yes, good to have you with us. So you were calling this package of bills unveiled earlier this week mere baby steps. Why do you say they were baby steps?
Well, because when you look at the magnitude of the problem that we have, when you look at how long we've gone without doing anything significant on the jobs front, to put forward this package of seven bills and to call it a big step forward just is so misleading. If you implemented every one of these tomorrow, you would hardly see any change whatsoever in the jobs picture. And so it's so unfortunate that we're just not willing to come forward with, two or three times this number of ideas, and because many of them have been out there for, a year or a year and a half, and we just see such a lack of action on this front.
Yeah, so what kind of legislation would you like to see?
Well, let me, I could run through a whole array of things.
Maybe one or two big ones.
Sure, let me tell you a couple, and let me first of all frame it in this manner. You know, in and of itself, the seven bills that the governor brings forward are not bad bills. In fact, I think for the most part, they're good bills. In fact, the idea of capturing more federal funds through the Department of Vocational Rehab to help workers who are disabled, I think is a great idea. I wish he would have done it during the budget. There's no reason not to do this. But I'm glad he's doing that now. But, that's not going to put, thousands of people back to work, but it will be helpful. Something like helping people be able to take their professional license exam before they're done with their training program. I mean, that's a good idea. That way, at least when they're finished, they can go to work immediately. I like that idea. But again, that's not going to put a great deal of people to work. But still, I think they're good endeavors. I make no mistake about it. But you could have three times the number of job type bills and training bills that you have. And let me just cite a couple things. First of all, it's very clear that the single biggest thing that you can do to help put people back to work quickly is through job training kinds of initiatives. I sit on the WEDIC board, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation Board, and we have CEO roundtables around the state. And the issue that comes up by far more than any other issue is the need that employers have to find qualified employees and to have their employees to be retrained. And, Secretary Arne Duncan, President Obama's Secretary of Education, did an exhaustive study and found that there's 2 million jobs in America that could be filled almost immediately. That's 40 to 50,000 jobs here in Wisconsin if we just had training programs to help put people back to work. And, yet the governor has cut the vocational colleges by nearly a third in the budget before this one. And this time, they have not even restored half of the funding. You could at least do that, or you could come up with bold initiatives, such as the one that we've had, where you would create a pool of funds where vocational colleges could go to the state board and say, this is the area that the private sector has told us is needed in order to create short-term to medium-term training programs to put people back to work quickly. We would create a $10 million fund to be able to allow the vocational colleges to be able to make those applications. And we know there's great support in the district boards association for doing that. You know, we have a proposal that's been put forward to try and promote Wisconsin manufacturing around the country, much like we promote tourism. We know that that's worked in Wisconsin. We've invested more in tourism. More people come to Wisconsin. We should be doing the same thing in manufacturing. We have high-paying jobs, and that is work together with business and industry, go out to these trade shows around the country. A number of states and regions have done this very successfully. So we know those are the kinds of things that work, that will create jobs immediately, because when you create demand for Wisconsin products and people buy more of those products, more people have to go to work.
Let me also, before our break here, ask you about this new metrics that Governor Walker is now citing for job numbers. He's using the Philadelphia Federal Reserve's leading index, which makes predictions on where states' economies are going. And it had some good news for Wisconsin this week, saying that we would be second in the nation in economic growth. Do you see any value at looking at this projection as opposed to the review that is done by the Bureau of Labor Statistics?
Well, look, you know, there are, you know, probably 20 different metrics that are out there. And, you know, everybody likes to point to the one that best makes their case. The Philadelphia one, I think, is one that is probably the least accurate, because of the fact that's the same one that within a two-month period went from saying we would be one of the worst states in the country to creating jobs to one of the best. So I don't think they have a great deal of credibility, but they're one that you should look at. You should look at a broad range of them. I mean, Fortune magazine on the other end of the spectrum, which Republicans used to always cite, shows that Wisconsin would be 49th in the country in job creation. And there are so many others. U.S. Chamber of Commerce forecast, but could we be dead last? You look at the broad panoply of indicators that are out there, and overall, it paints a pretty bleak picture. There are one or two, like the, I think, CEO Magazine or this one that you cite, that is relatively good for us, but then most of them are actually giving a pretty bleak outlook.
Yeah, why do you think so many of them are giving Wisconsin a bleak outlook? What's wrong with creating jobs in Wisconsin?
Well, I think that what they do is they look at a range of different indicators, and obviously you look at our performance over the course of the past year or two, where our job ratings have always been, you know, near the worst in the country versus near the best, and that's an actual performance. And when you look at that, we just did not perform well. And that's, I guess, where my criticism comes in terms of this jobs package. It's like we've been talking about this. I've met with the governor many times. We've sent letters to the speaker saying, come on, let's have some urgency. Let's work harder. Let's put forward ideas. And then we give them a list of a dozen bills that we should be moving forward on, and then none of them are ever put on the call, which is so unfortunate. But even with these seven, like I said, these are seven good bills. I think we should move forward. We should have done them in September. I don't know why they canceled the September session. Clearly, there should be some urgency around this, and it's frustrating that there's not more urgency on the part of the Republicans. I think there's an insensitivity to the plight that, you know, unemployed people are facing, and actually small businesses. I mean, if we put more people to work, small businesses will thrive because they depend upon people having money in their pockets to buy the goods and services that they produce.
We are talking with Peter Barca, Democratic State Representative from Kenosha and the Assembly Minority Leader, about jobs in Wisconsin. How do you feel about Governor Walker's and Republicans' efforts to boost the economy and create jobs? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Assembly Minority Leader Peter Barca during this half hour. He says that the package of bills that Republicans unveiled this week that are aimed at improving Wisconsin's economy are underwhelming. We're talking about that legislation and what is needed, the big, bold action that he says is needed to get Wisconsin's economy back running again. And we're welcoming your questions and your reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And I'm going to also ask Representative Bark about a couple of other related issues that are going on. But first, Gary on Facebook says, Peter Barca and the rest of the Democrats had their chance to support job creation when they voted on the mining bill. They voted against it strictly on party lines with no concern for the welfare of anything other than party politics. I am thinking that his bold plan is heavy on ideology and rhetoric and light on practical solutions and action. So he says, in essence, the mine's going to create jobs, and that was good, and you didn't like that, Peter Barca.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up because, so often Republicans will point to their version of the mining bill, which they thought was ideal, which Democrats had an alternative, and it was a bipartisan alternative. They couldn't even get all the members of their party to support their version of the mining bill. And it's because of the fact that under what the Republicans have done, you're creating a different approval process from the feds than you have from the state, which means that likely it'll take actually longer to site a mine. But secondly, at the last minute, they added a provision to say expect environmental contamination. And we thought that was not appropriate. The alternative bipartisan bill that Democrats supported almost mirrored identically what Minnesota has for a mining process. And they're the largest producer or one of the top producers of iron ore in the entire nation. And so obviously it's worked well for them in Minnesota. So the approach that we support on a bipartisan basis, we thought was a sounder process and one that's worked successfully in another state. And so I think it's unfortunate the tack that the Republicans took, but we had an alternative. It's not that we said no. We said, let's do it in a better way.
Rob in Racine is with us now. Hello, Rob.
Hi. I just wanted to point out that if Governor Walker was actually serious about bringing jobs into the state, wouldn't he not stand in the way of the proposed Menominee Casino being proposed for Kenosha? It's expected to bring 5,000-plus jobs in, and he and the Potawatomi are the only ones standing against it, as far as I can tell, in the entire state.
Well, Representative Barca, you're in favor of seeing this off-reservation casino go up in Kenosha, aren't you?
Well, sure. They've gone through all the steps. They've proven their... they've had to pass the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And it's ironic in a way that the governor, who, has always believed in free markets, would say that you have to have every other tribe to agree. I mean, that'd be akin to saying to Target, we're not going to allow you in our community unless Kohl's and Kmart and Walmart all approve it. I mean, we've never had that standard before. We didn't use that standard when in past gaming operations. So I agree with the caller. It is true. I mean, why you would stand in the way when you could actually be turning dirt within a short period of time and put construction workers to work and employ many people, I think is a huge mistake. The governor did this on wind energy as well. After the legislature passing a wind energy bill, when the Democrats were in charge, by a bipartisan vote of over two-thirds of the legislature voted for it, including every top Democrat and Republican leader, the governor came in, suspended wind rules, and we lost somewhere in the neighborhood of $2 billion of investment, thousands of jobs. So the governor talks about jobs, but in many cases, he's been an impediment to moving forward on things like wind energy, where Wisconsin trails our neighbors. Iowa gets around 20% of their energy from wind energy. Minnesota gets about 16 or 17%. Wisconsin is 2%. This is an area... another example where we should be aggressive and be pushing forward in a bold manner to create those kind of jobs that also will help make us be energy and more energy independent than we are now. Now we're importing billions of dollars every year in to meet our energy needs in Wisconsin.
Now back to the casino, we did a show on this a while back, and while the Menominee were saying that this would create thousands of jobs, I thought it was around 3,000. The Potawatomi, which have the off-reservation casino in Milwaukee, countered by saying, well, we'll lose 3,000 jobs if you do that.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I don't believe that's the case, that they're going to lose 3,000 jobs. Sure, there'll be a little bit of shifting in terms of where people will go. But, you know, Kenosha, the people within our region believe that most of those people will come from northern Illinois. And there's a lot of, you know, Illinois has been looking at the idea of putting one on the Waukegan area, which will draw people from, you know, the casino in Milwaukee anyway. So better to have that economic activity in Wisconsin than to have it go to northern Illinois. And we have the approval, and that's why I think we should come up with a win-win. You know, I've talked to the governor, bring the tribes together, let them find a way that everybody can benefit. That's the best Wisconsin approach we could take.
Speaking of northern Illinois, I thought the governor was boasting about a company that he lured from Illinois to come to Kenosha and set up shop.
We have had a couple companies locate here from Illinois, and that's a plus. There's no question about it. But this is the first time. This isn't anything new. When we worked hard back in the late 80s, early 90s, to pass the utility holding company bill, and Wisconsin Electric built a tremendous industrial park out in Pleasant Prairie, we lured dozens of companies to move to Wisconsin. And what generally happens is when companies have to expand beyond their current footprint, they need to find a place, and they find that in Kenosha County, right across the border, that there's plenty of land, and we've got a couple of industrial parks that are ready for them, and it's worked well. But so, you know, it's good that that's happened, and I know the governor's been aggressive and trying to promote businesses to move here, and I join him in that. I think that's terrific. We should be trying to get companies to move to Wisconsin.
Alice in Sheboygan is with us. Hi, Alice.
Hi. I was calling about, wanted to talk about the water industry as a big positive in our state, what Milwaukee has done, what the University of Wisconsin has, or University of Milwaukee has done with the Water Institute. And since you always look upon any area's natural resource, we are so fortunate in Wisconsin with our water that it's something I want us to preserve, and across the state too.
Yeah, can you link that to jobs, Alice?
Sure. I am not for some of the jobs that have been created or they want to create and have created, say, along the west side of the state with the sand mines, bringing in people from out of state who don't really live there but go back and forth or live in trailers. I'm talking about promoting more of the saving of our water in this state.
Mm-hmm. All right. Representative Barca?
Well, I mean, certainly, I think it presents such a golden opportunity for Wisconsin. I travel the globe with our group. I ran an international project management group, and clearly so many countries all around the world need help in this whole arena of providing for clean water and finding ways to improve their water supply. So there's no question. I think that there's an emerging enormous opportunity for a public-private partnership through the Water Council. And so I totally agree with the caller. We're very excited about it. In fact, yesterday in our WEDIC board meeting, this issue came up. Our next meeting will be actually at the Water Council at their facility, Gathering Waters in Milwaukee, and we're very excited about it. In fact, we talked at that meeting. Representative Jeff Stone and I both brought up the idea on a bipartisan basis that we need to examine ways that we can be more creative and take advantage much more fully of the opportunities that this will present for Wisconsin in the future. So it's exciting. And that's one more thing maybe I'd mention, Joy, where I think we're missing opportunities too. We need to do more collaborative kinds of research between the public and private sector. When you know, the Democrats were in charge, we passed the whole LISIS program, which was to establish the equivalent of WARF, a variation of WARF in all the various cluster campuses around the state. So whether it's Stevens Point or at Parkside or Whitewater, we could help to promote more collaborative research. And that's another area where we need to do far more than what we're doing. That's an area where we could be very bold. Yeah. And but the Water Council clearly is just a tremendous opportunity.
Yeah, so do you think the governor has any chance at meeting that 250,000 job goal campaign promise that he made by the end of his term?
Well, just in the last few weeks when he was up in Merrill, he seemed to drop the idea and say that, well, those numeric goals really aren't what I meant in the first place, which, of course, was startling for most people because he made the centerpiece of his run for governor. But I think, you know, an equally important metric is, you know, how are we doing in comparison to the other states? I mean, obviously, you look at the nation as a whole is improving in the job picture with steady improvement across the nation. So we just need to be bolder, stronger, and come up with a broader panoply of ideas to help stimulate our economy so that we can ensure that Wisconsin is near the top of the pack rather than near the bottom of the pack. When, you know, the last year that Governor Doyle was in office and the Democrats were in charge, we passed 50 different economic development initiatives. And that's not by our call. That's the Legislative Council put together a paper on it.
Well, we'll leave it there for now, Representative Barka. We're out of time. More to talk about, but we'll do it another time. Peter Barka, Democratic State Representative from Kenosha and the Assembly Minority Leader. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, and to Robin Sherry for producing the program. This is the Ideas Network.